pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And we pray that you open this book of Esther to us so that we may see, at least in what I saw in Mordecai, the life of Jesus. And as we do so, we may glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are in the study of the book of Esther. And the book of Esther, actually, we are on the study of the whole Old Testament, book by book. And we're trying to select a given example in the Old Testament that portrays the life of Jesus. Here in the book of Esther, you will hear names like Ahasuerus, the king. You will hear names like Vashti, the queen, Esther, the queen later on, Haman, the commander-in-chief of the army, and young and wonderful fellow, about 70 years old, Mordecai, the savior of actually Israel, as he intervened with the king, through the queen, and made safe the life of the Israeli people. All right? So we entitled the book, Jesus Greater Than Mordecai, because Mordecai was the one who passed the information for the salvation of Israel. You will see it in a minute. All right, we move on in this, we have as the way of introduction the serious progression. And as I brought a flash, each one of the books that we study, I mentioned to you what Jesus was in each book. In the book of Genesis, Christ Jesus was the seed of the women. Remember that? The seed of the women. In the book of Exodus, Christ Jesus was the Lamb of God. In the book of Leviticus, you can pick a choice between the high priest or the offering itself. And then book of Numbers was a brazen altar. Remember, there was a brazen altar lifted up for the salvation of people. And so the New Testament pick up the idea in John 3. And the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 15:18, Moses said, you will hear another prophet just like me. So Jesus is the prophet of Israel. In the book of Joshua, captain, soldier, who fought for Israel, Jesus is the savior of our soul. In the book of Judges, who God protecting Israel, who won a law like Egypt, and a king, God gave them judges, and Jesus is the judge and the lawgiver. In the book of Ruth, remember that she was redeemed by a man, and so Jesus was the kinsman redeemer, the one who was closer than the law, because the law cannot redeem us. In 1st and 2nd Samuel, he was the intercessor, as Samuel intercede for Israel. 1st and 2nd King, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, the reigning king, Jesus is absolutely the one in command. In the book of Ezra, we saw not too long ago, the faithful scribe. And then last Sunday, we saw in the book of Nehemiah, the builder of the wall, and that was Jesus himself. Now, the things that we do here, and you will see in the topic of our study, is that we're trying to relate the study of the book. We're trying to relate it all the way to the person of Jesus. So you can flash the discussion. And it's the book of Esther, and it's related to the person of the Lord Jesus. And I know you can relate many of them. And if you want the studies all in written form, I have it for you. Somebody have copy and put it all together. It's a Bible course in the School of the Bible. We have it all printed for you, 1 to 16, until the book of Proverbs, and we are in the project of writing the rest of the story. Now, there is always a general introduction, and you can flash the general introduction to us all together. And let me look again for you. We did these almost these classes redundant to the 4 o'clock class where we look upon the scriptures as the scripture. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24, if you have a Bible, you will see over there that there are two verses who are very important. In verse 27, there were two disciples walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, their city. They were discouraged. They were trusting the Lord Jesus as their leader. And their leader was crucified on Calvary cross. And so they were walking completely without any thought of mind for the future. And we read in verse 27, this is after Jesus joined them and talked to them. The Bible said, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And so Jesus went into all the scripture, Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and Jesus went into all the prophets, the writings that follow, to prove that everything was written about himself. Now, in verse 44, as you have the reference over there, in verse 44, Jesus meet the disciples. He comes with the door closed. He meet them. And just to take all the doubts away, in verse 44, he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written," and Jesus goes step by step now, "in the law of Moses, in the first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." So he covered the entire Old Testament. We study at 4 o'clock that one of the proofs that the Bible is the Bible, is there are three proofs that the Bible is the Bible. Number one, the writers, what they talk about it. Number two, what Jesus said about it. And number three, the Holy Spirit revealing the Bible. And number two, what Jesus said about it, you can see it right here. Jesus is saying whatever Moses wrote, whatever the prophets wrote, whatever the Psalm wrote, they're all concerning me. And that's a proof of the divine inspiration. There is another scripture. You are in Luke. You should move to the next book of the Bible, in the book of John, in chapter 5, and in verse 39. Now, Jesus talking now to lawyers and Pharisees, and these people were educated people, and they were looking in the scripture too, and Jesus make a comment about it in verse 39. He says, "Search the scriptures." We, at the 4 o'clock class, we classify the words like in a court of law. We made like a court of law on the table and classify the words. And Jesus is equal. And now what he's going to make all his scriptures equal. He says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." The scriptures alone testify of me. And my favorite text of the Bible is way in the back of the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10 and in verse 7. I think if you follow the King James Bible, it's just clear as can be. Jesus is declared here to be the center of the entire Bible. In verse 7 of the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we read these words. "Then said I, lo, I come," and look at where, "in the volume of the book it is written of me," in the volume, in the entire volume. We Protestants believe that the Bible is a book, compressed of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. And we have dealt with that issue on Wednesday night on the studies on catechism and the discovery of the canonicity of the Bible. And if you want to study like that, I have a copy of about 14 pages on that, how the canon came together. And we studied that last Wednesday night. And The Bible said that in the whole canon of the Bible, and that's the only way you prove a book of the Bible is a book of the Bible, in the whole canon of the scripture, it is written of Christ Jesus. So my curiosity years ago in this church, I would say 12 years ago, 13 years ago, was a Wednesday night to discover Jesus in the Old Testament. Later on, the School of the Bible and Family Radio pick up the idea. They wrote, make two programs, EOT 101 and EOT 102, and more than 8,000 people across the world study that Jesus is in the Bible. And I thank God, I don't know if they approved the class or not, but one thing I know, I only had two rejections, one from Modesto, an Arab fellow from Modesto who was extremely mad that that I point to Jesus in the scripture. He was absolutely, absolutely mad and wrote me a nasty letter that I know nothing because he said, Muhammad is another prophet equal to Jesus. And of course, in my studies, I exalt Jesus. But at least I thought I sent a great letter of commendation because he saw the truth on the course that we were preaching Jesus, and he picked up the idea, and he said, I don't like it. I said, well, that doesn't make my material wrong. Just makes you hostile. And that's what the material is for, to make you either a friend of Christ or hostile to Christ. And so I thought the material was well written, because then the person, an unbeliever, will get mad about it, and that is good. So I hope you don't get mad tonight. I thought that you really enjoy the book of Esther. Now, how many times in your life have you read the book of Esther? It's after the book of Nehemiah. Have you read the entire book at once? Have you? You did. Oh, all right, you did. All right. More often, we don't look on the book of Esther for any inspiration or any encouragement, don't we? Who will look in the book of Esther? But the book of Esther is a great book, all right? And so we're going to have now the next section. After the general, we have the specific information. As I said, take notes. I give you a copy of the entire dissertation. I have it right here in front of me. If you need it, I give it to you later. But I want you to pay attention to it because the book of Esther is not an unusual book. You can open this new denture. I have the new denture. I have the whole set. There's injected all kinds of things inside for the healing. And it's causing me an allergy that shocks me. But I told the doctor, and he said, until the 22nd, they're going to take it away. They're going to take the whole thing out and clean it. But they injected something. He said, we'll put a lot of metals on it, and we need to put a lot of antibiotics on it. And little by little, they are released. And there are moments that my mouth is flooded with water, and there's antibiotics there to protect it. But I had the new denture, and just between parentheses, the people who want to listen to this CD, they don't understand. My mouth was cut in many pieces. I wear something for years. Each time I'm going to wash my teeth, I'm going to pull the teeth out and they come out. They're all welded. So I still have the thing. But it's a pleasure to talk without being afraid. And the only thing is now that I feel it from here to here and from here to here, you feel the tensions. And the doctor said, well, you tell us how much pain and we adjust it. We just move the bolts a little bit. And that's it. So forgive me if I choke from time to time. Now the specific information, all right? The first is the historical information. And the first point on the historical information is chapter 1. So open your Bible in Esther. Is Ezra, Nehemiah, and the book of Esther. And we will study now this specific information about the book of Esther. And let us start with a historical resume of Esther so that you will know the purpose of the book itself. In chapter 1 of the book of Esther, we see the refusal of the queen, the wife of Ahasuerus, to appear before the king. Now, a woman in the Chaldean Empire will not say to her husband, no. Never heard about it. A woman cannot say to her husband, no. And here these women did it. All right? We will read some verses for you so that you get this story. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 6. Look at what the Bible says. Now it came to pass In the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, or over 127 provinces. That in those days, when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all the princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of the provinces, being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 84 days, and when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto a great and a small, 7 days, in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where white, green, and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings. And you see, there is a festival going on. Man, I'm the greatest in the whole world. I'm going to invite every governor. You don't have princes here, but you have governors. They can refuse the order of the president under certain conditions, said the Constitution. So you have he invite all the governors and everybody, 140 days. And then after they have 7 days, I mean, this guy throw the house through the window. He said, I'm the greatest and the most powerful. All right. Now look in verse 9. We see another party was going on. Also Vashti, and Vashti was his wife, the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. So we have a party of the man with all the men. He said, I'm the greatest. Let's get a party, 140 days. And the wife, she maybe thought, I'm the best too. And so she make a party for the women. Verse 10 and 11. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, what do you think it means? When the heart of the man was merry with wine, that's a very polite way. He was wrong. We call it in language, you know, wrong. The Bible, he was wrong, see? He commanded Mehuman, Bizza, Harbona, Bichta, Abgatas, Zedar, Carcass, and 7 chamberlains that serve in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king. Now, the custom was that the queen will come completely nude to show her beauty. That's very typical in the Arab world, and very typical of the honor of this man, to show what a beautiful wife he had. Now, we've got a picture here. Only a drunk man will do that. You have here a wonderful king thinking that he is the best, making a party, and then you have a queen making a party, and then the guy got drunk and lost his mind, and now has won his wife on the table to be an exhibit. So the first story that comes out of the book of Esther, as we open the Bible, is that the king was a little bit drunk. All right. So he said, go to the house of the queen and bring the queen to me. I want to talk to her, or maybe exhibit her before the people. Now look at verse 12. Verse 12 says that the queen Vashti refused to come to the king. This is the first incident historically that you find in the book of Esther, the refusal of the queen to appear before the king. And this is never in history like this. King Ahasuerus had a tremendous feast the queen had a feast, and the king requested the queen, and the queen say, no, I will no go over there. Wow. Verse 12 through the end of the chapter gives the reaction of the king. Let us read so that we can see what is really happening. Verse 12 says, by the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Wow. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Have you ever talked to a drunk fellow and he wants something from you and you say no? Well, what's the reaction? He get angry. He get violent. When I used to leave very late in Auckland, very dangerous over there on the way to the airport. There's a lot of drunk people, and you leave in the wrong place at the wrong door in the radio, and here's a drunk fellow asking you for money or something. And if you don't give it, he get anger. And so the king was in anger. In other words, he really could not believe what he heard. His wife will not come and be with him. Now, verse 13 continues. Then the king said to the wise men. The wise men were the state men. It's called the wise men, the state men, which knew the times so far, for so was the king's manner. You know, and so he's talking to them. The king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew the law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshena, Shethar, Adamatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marsena, and Meshukam, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face. You know, these people say, "Ooh, it's going to be terrible." And which is at the first at the kingdom, what shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law, because she have not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus, but the chamberlains? Now, what are we going to do with the queen? And Mecuman answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen have not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all the women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported. And the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media. You see what happened? In other words, they are counseling the king and saying, now listen, king, if you let this go on very lightly, now all the wise will take freedom. See, she was with the ladies. When their husbands say, I will talk to you, the wife will not want to listen. You can see how important of an example you are setting. If your wife will not listen to you, why should other women listen to their own husband? I think that's what they're saying. And they are scared to death that they cannot dominate the women's. Continuing in verse 18, we read, likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And they are giving counsel actually to divorce. You divorce the lady. So King Ahasuerus dethroned the queen Vashti, and he looked for another queen. All right? Now that's chapter 1. King Ahasuerus said, the lady is not listening to me. That's a bad example. Goodbye. If you don't, look at, we talk about divorce. If just a woman refused to listen to the husband said, you're divorced. Get out of here. You cannot be here. Now, the amazing things do happen. Amazing things do happen. And it was completely out of law that the king will look around and then find another queen. Not of his own nation, not of his own people, but a Jew. Can you imagine now we're talking about Iran looking for a queen that is not Iranian? As you remember, the Jewish people were under the Persian Empire and the Median Empire. They were the years, these were the 70 years of the tribulation in which God brought Israel into the captivity because of their disobedience. And so now we go to chapter 2 then, and the screen will show you chapter 2, brother, if we put it together. All right, Esther chosen to be queen. And chapter 2, verse 1 to 3 reads in this way. And after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, let there be fear yon virgin sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair yon virgins unto Shushan. And now look in verse 5. Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jer, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadash, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. You know that Mordecai was not the father. He was the foster father, actually. He was the cousin of the lady, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Now, Mordecai was the foster father of this lady. Now, in verse 8, we read, so it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things for purification with such things which belonged to her, and 7 maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house, and he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had no show her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. In other words, he said, do not say a word about your background. You just go. You are a good-looking girl, and you are going to get ahead. She did, and the king really took her. So in chapter 2, we learn that this lady is chosen to be queen. Look in verse 15. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king chamberlain, the keeper of the women's, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebet, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women. Now she was a Jew. That's a miracle. She was a Jew. And the king loved her above all the women. Now, remember a name here, because I am going to dwell on that name. And the name I want you to remember is the foster father, Mordecai. Remember that name, Mordecai. Now, he is a smart Jew, Mordecai. And certainly need to be pay really attention to this man. Mordecai said, I know that this king is after beauty, and you are beautiful. You girl, go, you get it. And Mordecai did not have in view riches of this world when he did this. We are going to see in a minute Mordecai's intention in placing these women as the wife of the king. You know that the people of Media, although they were always peaceful, there were a rascal there was a rascal among the people of Media. We are going to see in a few minutes the name of a man who was a rascal. And the name of that man is Haman, H-A-M-M-A-N, Haman. This man hated the Jewish people, and we will see in a minute how he found favor in the eyes of the king because he actually wanted to be king. He wanted to replace King Ahasuerus, and he wanted to be the man of the hour, the king actually in control of everything. In order for him to be king, there was only one choice. He had to eliminate all the Jews. He must remember, we must remember that this is history. This is not invention. This is no allegorical teaching. This is history. Haman say, if I kill all the Jew, like Hitler, if I kill all the Jew, then I be the only king here in the entire world. Now that was in his head. Haman became commander. We will read in a minute so that you get the idea. He became commander-in-chief, like in the United States, we have a commander-in-chief. Haman was a man that hated anything that was godly. He hated God and he hated his people. In chapter 4 now, Mordecai comes around and heard that this Haman was really going and sneaking to the king for approval to kill all the Jewish people. And Mordecai hear that. And in chapter 4, Mordecai knew that Haman does not know that the wife of the king is a Jew. Now here is a captain of the army who wants to kill all the Jewish people, and he doesn't know that the wife of King Ahasuerus is a Jew. And so let us focus the attention on the historical information, because we dwell on the information corresponding to topology in a minute. Let us start reading Esther chapter 4, verse 12, and see. And they told to Mordecai Esther words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jew. In other words, Esther got the news and said, you know, Mordecai, what's going to happen? This Haman is going to kill all the Jew. And Mordecai said, you are no more safe than the other people. See, in other words, he's saying, Esther, when they know that you are a Jew, you also are going to be killed with the other people. The Bible continues, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jew from another place. In other words, Mordecai say, if you are no use of God to save Israel people, then God will use somebody else. Now, Mordecai was a true believer, and he said, Esther, I want you to know that if you do not risk your life on behalf of your people, then God will raise somebody else to save them. Now, Mordecai was great. He knew the things of God. Do not think that any human being is going to eradicate God's people from this earth. This is knowing theology and knowing God. Considering what he said, but thou and my father's house shall be destroyed. He is telling Esther, you are in power now, and if you do not speak now, then you are going to be destroyed. And here is the key verse in the entire book. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such an hour like this? See, Mordecai said, you know, Esther, after all, who knows if you are the wife of Ahasuerus for this particular hour? Now, I know that this is putting pressure, immense pressure, on that woman. He's saying, now, look, I did not put you on the spot. God put you on the spot. He is going to use you. If you do not let God use you, he is going to destroy you and use somebody else. God's people need to be protected. This is confidence in God This is the thrust. So verse 15 declares this. Look at verse 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me. You know, fast for me. What was fasting related to when the Jewish people fast? What also did they? They pray. So get all the Jews and pray for me. We can see the importance of prayer. She said, now, sir, I am going to do what you said, but I want an army to pray for me. Now you know why I'm so hot on prayer. I measure in seminary in the Old Testament. And I believe that if an army of people pray for our church and for the pastor, we will have a blast of the gospel every Sunday. And I'm so convinced of this, and I'm so aware of the constitution of our church, which is people everywhere. I very soon, when I'm here full-time, I tell you, on Tuesday, I will email to all the people that we have a prayer request. So if you cannot come here, you have to promise to me that you will pray in your home on Wednesday. Somewhere during the day, you will get an email. You say, Pastor wants us to pray for this, about him, about me. I don't care about all the other prayer requests. I care, but I said, well, I'm interested that you pray for me, because God's going to expand this ministry. And I want you to pray. And we have the technology with the emails. So let's use it. God has put a complete different church than anybody else. People are all spread. Fine. And we mail you our request. Use it with your family, your children, your family. So now the pastor and the people are meeting there on Wednesday night, and we cannot go. We're so far, or we have an obligation, but we pray on Wednesday or Thursday. One day of the week, you just pray. Because that's what makes strong the ministry. Now, these women got it right. She said, okay, I'm going to do what this man said. But people, you got it together and you pray. In other words, you cannot be divided. You know the two go together, or the pastor can burn out and the church is split up. So this is the story of the book, and the remarkable story. Amazing, now get drunk. His wife refused to listen. The king had to select another wife. The wife that he selected is a Jew, and he doesn't mind. There is a man, Haman, that wants to be commander-in-chief, and he got the position, and his ambition was not to be commander of the soldiers of the Media and Persia Empire. He wanted to take the kingdom. In order to take the kingdom, he needs to eliminate all the Jews. He has this plan, and he's talking to the king. The queen is listening, pass the word. Mordecai said, we need to do something. We need to talk to the king. You are the person. She said, you pray for me. So now I'm going to the lesson. I think it's the next. We talk about the key and Mordecai's success. Let's go to the message of the book. So I'm going to pick up this story and make the typological way, because it's excited. This is one of the most exciting books that I have ever known about really the goodness of Christ. I cannot believe that historians will say that they do not know if this book belonged to the Bible, because there is no mention of God. I cannot believe that. But my aim is to show you that Jesus Christ is greater than Mordecai. Mordecai is simply used here as a portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let me work on this. First, Mordecai refused to bow before Haman in chapter 3 and in verse 1. The Bible said this: after these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hamedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. In other words, Haman became the chief commander of all the armies, like our commander-in-chief, who is still in power today of the armed forces of the United States. Now look in verse 2. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bow and reverence Haman. Haman is a picture of Satan. For the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. You got the picture? Number one? The Haman said, I'm the number one commander. And when he walked in the palace, everybody bowed before him except the Jew. This Mordecai Jew, he did not bow. Now, Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Now, here is a man who said, I am in power. I am one who can save you. Mordecai say, Bologna. I will not do it. Now, Jesus did the same thing. If you go to Matthew 4, in this passage, we have a picture of Haman, a representative of the kingdom of this earth. And Haman said in his heart, I am the king on this earth. He was king on this earth, all right, but he had no power on the kingdom of heaven. Look at Matthew 4 and in verse 9, the real Haman, the real Satan. Satan is talking to Jesus and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Can you see that? The same thing that Haman did over there, Satan did to Jesus. And this is the same thing. Haman is a picture of Satan. And Satan is saying unto Jesus, the Son of God, if you bow and worship me, I will give you the world. That is what Haman wanted. And he wanted the world. What did Jesus say? He said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. In other words, you bow before God only, not before anybody else. Therefore, in this sense, Mordecai takes the place in the drama of history of the picture of Jesus fighting with Satan. This is why my title of the book of Esther is One Greater Than Mordecai. Mordecai has to fight now with Haman, and Haman is in power like Satan. And Mordecai is a simple guy, but he will not bow before him. Secondly, Haman plans to destroy God's people. He said, all right, these guys do not bow to me. I will destroy everybody who is godly. Turn to Esther now, chapter 3, in verse 8, and look at Haman's intention. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's law. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. It's not good for you to have them here. Now, that is a tremendous text that teaches how we as Christians are to live. We are people within a kingdom, within America. But our laws are the laws of the Bible, the laws of God. The Bible rules our lives. The fact that United States of America allows abortion does not allow a Christian to have abortion, because the Bible says that you should not do it. You see that? The same factor. The fact that United States of America permits divorce does not allow a Christian to divorce, because the Bible does not give you the right to divorce. You see, this is written in the Old Testament and fresh as the newspaper tomorrow. Haman wanted to put the laws of the kingdom about the laws of God. So this Haman planned to destroy God's people. Please turn to verse 9. You read verse 8, now verse 9. If it pleased the king, let it be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasury. In other words, hey, king, if we kill those people, we get their money and we become rich. He knows how to talk to a king on this earth. Haman is coming to the king and is saying, now listen, I have a new idea. I see some rascals over there, and I do not like them. We should kill all of them. Let us finish with them. Now, turn to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 22, and we can see how money was also involved in that particular event in the life of Christ. Now, remember, money is involved. As a king, we get money for you if we can do this. If you turn to Luke 22, and in verse 1, we read, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how to kill him," to kill Jesus, "for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judah," Haman again, surname Iscariot, "being of the number of the 12. Satan came into the picture and said, "I am the big boy here in action." This is exactly like Haman, who said, "Okay, king, let me suggest to you some few hints so that you can kill these people." And Satan went and chose a man and go into the heart of that man so that he could operate through him. And that's what Satan did in Haman, and that's what Satan did in Judas. Now, the story is beautiful. Mordecai plead for God's people, and we have read about that, and I think we should read it again in chapter 4 and in verse 14. Mordecai then goes and tell Esther, "Who knoweth whether thou art to the kingdom for such a time like this?" And Esther taking a stand, and in verse 16, "Go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me, and neither eat or no drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, perish." There was somebody who took in a stand and plead for God's people. And Mordecai was the one who began pleading. This is a remarkable incident. And I tell you, the one who plead for you and for me, who is it? The Lord Jesus. We have a chapter in the Bible, John 17. You have the prayer of the Lord Jesus. And in that prayer, the Lord Jesus plead for us. In John 17 and in verse 9, Jesus said, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorifying them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." And Jesus said, "Keep them." Mordecai was successful. Haman was hanged. As you read the book, you discover that the king discovered in the newspaper that the Jews were not the wrong people, but this Haman was the wrong people. And they prepared a place to hang Mordecai. But the one who was hanged in that place was Haman, and he died. And I tell you, Satan prepared a place for Jesus, all right? And he prepared a place for Jesus on the cross. And Jesus went to the cross. And they thought they got Jesus out of the way, but rather they got the resurrected Savior, hundreds of thousands of times more powerful than when he walked on earth. And he is in business of keeping us. Remember the prayer of Jesus, "Keep them who are in the world." Brother and sister, this is a remarkable book of Esther. We have somebody greater than Mordecai, someone who went into heaven, someone who plead for us, who died for us, not like Mordecai, he did not die. He died for us, Jesus, was resurrected, and now is in our heart to keep us, to keep us. So let us not rest to witness for our Lord. Let us take a stand. And regardless what happened, we take a stand with calmness, with sovereignty, with what is wrong is wrong, what is right is right. We stand in our principles, knowing that we have one like Mordecai who is praying for us, and knowing that we have a God that is going to keep us, not like Mordecai. Crooked things never go too far. Crook things never go too far. Governments who are crooked don't last too long. A few years later, Ahasuerus is removed, and the empire is destroyed. Listen, we are the people of God. We are the people that need to have such a solid conviction that doing right is the only way to go. And even though sometimes you feel defeated and you feel that everything is against you, I guarantee to you the victory is on your way, because we have one greater than Mordecai. Thank you, Father, for the great intercession of Mordecai, the great picture in the agony of death. You raise a man and raise a queen to protect your people. In the agony of this world, you have raised Jesus to protect us. Help us in quietness of heart to live a holy life, to stand for what is right, and to say the things that belong properly to the kingdom of God, to check our life carefully, and never to be afraid of the circumstances and problems and the environment in which we live, because we have one who is greater than Mordecai. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Called